Yeah, you're listening to the Dad Bod Rap Pod. I don't have a dad bod anymore, but this is a great podcast.
Stony Island Audio.
And now, it's time for the Dad Bod Rap Pod with your hosts, Timon Carter, David Ma, and Nate LeBlanc.
Three underground rap nerds walked into a bar. An argument ensued about who the GOATs are. The seed was a thought that would turn into a pod. Now fans worldwide say, not a bad job, the ad hoc gab squad who chronicles the vanguard of hip hop at large. Rap taste slacked off, don't need to be mad, dog. Look no further, it's the Dad Bod Rap Pod.
Wow. Yeah. So real, I land in Colombia. Immigration and customs looking at me like,
when I stop this,
I know you. Yeah, you know me. Wow. If I'm too quiet for your taste, then
I don't care.
You must not be familiar with Voltaire. The whole stare,
bitch,
while I'm
me.
Looking like I don't care. I'm just focusing on my Coinbase. The more I play it coy, the more she wanna know how my groin tastes. Wow. Avoid the hate, levitating. I'm a songbird in flight.
Podcasting live from San Jose, California. It is the Dad Bod Rap Pod. I am one third of your host, Timon Carter, aka Dim One, joined by my man Nate LeBlanc. What's good, dog?
So utterly pleased to be podcasting. Love podcasting.
I mean, you must. You're good at it. And this is low-key almost our 300th fucking show. We've actually done more than 300.
I know. We have .5s, and we have Monday specials, and we have live things, and blah, 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 blah. And we stopped counting in the middle of the year last year for reasons unbeknownst to Dave and I. But
fuck numbers. I don't do numbers.
Extra P said, don't say the episode numbers. But, you know, I have an idea for the 300th I'll talk to you guys about when we wrap this sesh up.
Okay. Okay. Dope. David Ma, black pants, black socks, black shoes. What's happening, man?
Hey, it's good to be here, you guys. Glad it took us 300 episodes to get new mics.
Yes. You're welcome, America.
Here for it.
Anything and scattered that, people in the UK.
Anything That's that right. could capture my voice so well.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's really good to be here with you guys in person. I know I always say it because it's true.
Aww.
Great to have
the
you
most
here.
Wholesome dudes hanging out podcast.
That's right. And you know, I'm here. We're back at Casa de la Dem.
Yeah, that's Damone Carter, aka Dem One, checking in from his office chair.
Which you've heard squeaking for 4 years now. So join the Patreon if you want me to get a new chair. That's patreon.com/deadbyrappod. But we have assembled this week. We have another dope interview for y'all. It's back-to-back producer-rapper joints. We've got Crime
Apple.
We're
going to do the most mediocre 5 out of 10 root rapper-producer combos for the intro segment. No, I'm just kidding. It was so last week. For those who don't get the joke, last week we did the best and worst rapper-producer combos, and last week for us was 10 minutes ago. So anyway, it was so dope to catch up with Preservation again. He's such a good producer.
Totally.
And like, I don't know if, Dave, you agree with this, but like, the way he talks about music, the way he like presents himself, just even on the Zoom camera, like that's how you want your producer to be.
Totally.
He's like a very serious dude who like is thoughtful and like has cool art on his walls and like has been around and done all this cool stuff and just is like, oh yeah, when I was working with Mose, you know, like hella throwing that away.
Totally.
Like just so casually. It's so cool. And then it's been a saga for us to talk to Crime Apple.
Yeah,
we tried to talk to him at the time of the Perfect EPs, which is among his first ever work. We were pretty up on him pretty early, or muy temprano, as he would say. I'm just kidding. Please don't play him this. But we finally got a chance to connect with him. He was super cool. you're going to hear it in a minute, but his, I asked a kind of a left field question about whether or not he thought people should travel to Colombia. And he went like full Anthony Bourdain, just like, the ins, the outs, the highs, the lows, the politics, the travel, the passport bros. It is such a good answer to a question. You're going to hear it in a minute.
Okay. Okay. I actually was not present because I was in Colombia. No, wasn't present for the interview, but look forward to peeping it. And Nate, it got you thinking about this idea of rappers and producers actually working together in the same place at the same time, which for folks who, I don't know, who are not around rap a lot these days, it's really a remote working kind of situation a lot of times. Rappers are sending, or producers are sending rappers beat packs. Rappers are then sending back verses, and sometimes people will collaborate, and we've heard people say this on the program, oh, I just got the pack, and I sent the verses back, and that's how the thing is constructed. There was a time in the land before time, you actually had to be in the same place at the same time.
I think part of this, and I don't want to disrupt your flow, I'm sorry that I did, but like also like the definition of studio has changed tremendously.
Oh, for sure, for
like
sure.
A laptop and a mic with a cable, and you can record professional rap music or podcasts.
Yeah.
You used to have to rent a really expensive facility, usually in a major city in America. So that is part of my thinking on this, is like, I would just like want us to talk about like how it is now, how it used to be. Does it matter? And like, I'm not one of those people that thinks music used to be better, but I am around a lot of those people, and I understand where they're coming from. And I think that part of it is the kind of experimentation that was possible when you're in the room together. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's not possible over email. It just tends not to happen as much, seemingly. And I'm not in a lot of studios. It's actually, I don't know if any of you listening, I know those of you in the room have done this. Don't ever watch anyone record a rap record. It is so
the most boring thing ever.
It's the most boring thing you could ever do. And you will never want to listen to the beat in particular again.
Yeah.
Because you have to run the beat so many times to catch the vibe. It is insane how boring it is.
Yeah. It takes a certain type of person to do it. Shout out Jerry D. But it's incredibly repetitive and soul crushing.
Yes, kind of. Totally. Sometimes hilarious things happen, and sometimes it can be a really creative environment, but more often than not, it's like, oh, I fucked up. Can you start that again?
Right.
And if you're just there on the couch smoking a blunt or something, you're like, no. Does anyone want food or something? I'll go get us food or something. I just have to get out of here.
Well, it's interesting. We just came out of February, which was Dilla month always. Throw in the alarm sounds right there. But he had a thing where he was like, you got to hit it the first time, which once I read about it and I saw the documentary on Hulu, and it's really changed my thinking about the process of 300 takes. Isn't the 300 first one is not going to be that much better.
Right.
Like you're not actually improving. So Dilla's whole shit, and he was always beefing with Slum Village. They were going back and forth, but he was like, y'all not going to waste my time. You're going to come in here and you're going to get one take. So if you hear Slum Village, a lot of times they're like, because like you had one time, because he's like, that's where the magic is.
Yeah.
That's where the energy is. Like, don't do it 1,000 times.
All I'll say is Clint Eastwood also directs his movies like that.
Really?
He famously comes in under schedule and under budget, and he takes one, maybe two, if you're like Leonardo DiCaprio doing J. Edgar Hoover or some shit.
Yeah.
But for everything else, what you see in the movie was the first take.
Yep.
And you can say what you will about his movies. Some of them are great. Some of them are not that great. But there is something to be said for this style of work. But like, you have to be a legend or a legend in the making to earn that kind of.
And kind of have your shit together. I feel like
you have to have your shit together. Like, that Dilla means everyone on the crew did the lighting perfect. That means everything else is perfect. So it's up to the performer to nail it. And it also, we don't talk about this nearly enough. What about rehearsal? Like, most people go in the studio with like a vague idea, I think, and then find it in there. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, I think
it's a lot of rehearsal happening.
In my experience, back in the day when you had to pay for studio time, that's when it was like, you better have your shit worked out before you get in there, because the shit's like $50 an hour. $50 an hour in 1994 is an amazing amount of money. And I was in a not even an A++ studio, right? Or you have an advance from the record company and they're paying for these sessions and you only have so many.
That's just money you're never going to see.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I don't think most people thought of it like that at the time, but now we know more about contracts.
But it's just kind of like you only have a finite amount of time to do it, so there was more pressure to get it right. Also, the technology wasn't where it is now, where if I fuck up, I can just like, bloop. Like, you're literally dealing with like reels and shit. So I think there was a time when rehearsal and being super prepared for that session really meant a lot. And I think that's an under-discussed part of why some of the records from the early 90s are so fucking good. These groups had to really work them and rehearse them and be ready to get in the studio environment and kill shit. The gift and the curse of now is I could do the shit 5,000 times. I could do it here at my house. I could go to a studio. It's nothing. It's nothing to erase, whatever. So,
but do you want to go to the studio because you're like, okay, now I'm at work?
There's something to it. I think if you are in an environment that is about the music and if you have the right people. So when you gave this prompt, it made me think about my longest lasting friendships are people I could sit in the lab with, right? When I think about my deepest friendships that I'm holding to this day, it's because there were days when we were 7-8 hours in the lab together. And if like, you're annoying, that's going to come out, right? Yeah. Or if you're super impatient, that's going to come out. So friendships were forged in those spaces. Ideas were bounced. Hey, bro, why don't you try saying boop-de-boop instead of bop-bop-bop? You're not going to get that in the trading of WeTransfer files.
Right, right, right. It's all interpersonal relations at the end of the day, right?
Dave, do you care when you're doing a one sheet or like hearing a record, do you think about the conditions under which it was made? Like, is it totally irrelevant now?
It is irrelevant for the purposes of what I need to execute. But I do think about it. And I do, to Damone's point, like if we're talking about studios and stuff, I do think those are like temple-like arenas that could bring things out of you. You know what I mean? But when you prompted us with this, I mean, it made me think. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about the final product.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. How you get there is not as important as what comes out. But I do feel like, and I went on Dano's Free Music Empire podcast the other day, which is super cool. Had a wild meta discussion. I'm like, there's deeper levels of nerdery than us. I was very impressed. Let's just say that. But we had this conversation about music of the current era being more like content.
Right.
It's something that is churned out and produced. And
that's part of the thought process on this discussion. Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up.
I can see that. I can see that.
And it's just like you get more pretty damn good music.
Right.
I'm interested, and I would have to go back and really look and think about it. Are we getting as much great music?
Right.
Lab Cabin California or Bizarre Ride are albums that reek of the experience in the studio.
100%.
Talk to Fat Lip. He confirmed that. He's like, those sessions were fun. Those sessions were crazy. And you hear it.
We fought. We cried. We laughed.
Yes.
We tripped.
Yes.
We did so much together.
And you
and the Far Side lived together. So that's an interesting example because they like this. The lines were very blurred of what was work and what was play and whatnot, except for when they stopped having fun completely on the second record. But apparently I'm the only person who holds that opinion, but it's okay.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes those vibes are captured. D&D, like the things that happened in that
legendary studio.
Right.
Legendary studio.
I don't think there's such thing as a legendary email exchange.
True that.
That's hilarious.
The dungeon, you know what I mean? Like when you hear the records, when you know everybody was in there, I could say from experience, having people you know and respect in the physical space changes your approach. You as an artist in the current era, it's very easy to get inside your head and like, you think about it too much. But having folks you respect be like, nah, that was tight. Or
that is
wasn't.
Such an interesting way to take this. I was just listening to the most recent series of what had happened was it's Questlove's like breakdown of kind of not talking about the first four Roots records, talking about everything but at times. But he says some interesting stuff about the studio. And like, I'm not going to spoil it. Go listen to it. They had crazy budget from Geffen and were renting out floors of hotels and doing multiple studios. They had studio shenanigans you cannot imagine these days. Yeah. But something that I want to key in on what you just said is like they talk about what it was like when like Erykah Badu is in the studio. Yeah, would you rap a little differently if Erykah Badu was about to record her part? Yeah. Well, or if she was hanging on every syllable that you said? I think you would.
It's like you're playing a pickup game and then a girl shows up. You know what I mean? It's going to change your handles a little bit.
you get tired with, I thought he was going to go like Kevin Durant shows up, but you're like, no, an attractive woman shows up and all of a sudden my behind the back.
Start dunking.
Yeah. No, it is because it's an environment and it's an experience. And look, there's plenty of records from that era that were just like, right? Like sometimes
there's records from all times.
Totally.
The best point you made earlier was like, can you get a masterpiece?
Right.
Yeah.
Without ever meeting the people you make the masterpiece with. And I think you can, because we've seen some.
I think you can as well. I mean, can you, if we found out that Q-Tip and Fife recorded in different rooms, would it matter? Would it make low end less good? You know what I mean?
But Low End is one of those records that, I mean, it's easy for me to say, but I feel like I can tell they were together.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, it's the era, so everybody was together in that era. But I think some of that comes through.
The most recent interesting bit of trivia we've gotten about this was from our fucking awesome episode with the Beat Miners a couple weeks ago. Go check it out if you haven't listened to it. They told us they would literally put Smith and Wesson in the same vocal booth because they needed to play off of each other. And that is irreplaceable.
Right, yeah. Right.
You 100%. Cannot edit. Like
you can't splice that
lyric style, like two people talking at the same time. I don't think. Maybe you can.
Even like a Black Moon album where it's like 50 dudes in a room doing the chorus.
I love records like that. That's also a lost art, right?
Totally. And I guess you can recreate that and layer vocals on your laptop, but it doesn't sound right. You can't capture that energy, you know. So the environment, I think, does transfer over.
Yeah, and it's not to say that it doesn't still happen. On the back end of this episode, I'm going to talk about a new record that I feel like was recorded in the room with the producers and the rapper that's involved. I don't know that for sure. But it's definitely one of those things, Nate. I'm glad you brought up the point of, for some people, everything that happened before was better.
Usually when they were in high school.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So I'm not positing that. All I'm saying is, as somebody who's had that experience and kind of looking back and forth now, and I think Billy Woods even has a great rap about it, about how it used to be a communal thing, and now it's just him at home with like a snifter of whiskey and his phone, and he's like, I'm killing it, but it ain't the same as it used to be. So there's definitely, I'm not going to call it a lost art, but it's underappreciated, and something we may not see again in terms of like the industry, whatever, the machinery is crumbling. There's no incentive for you to go rent out a high-end studio unless you have like 20 band members or something.
Well, technology always sort of affects the art, so you kind of just want to see where it goes. I just saw this documentary. I forgot what it was, but like studio musicians were talking about how just recording tracks in studios in the 70s when they changed the technology, someone would go in and lay down the drums and then someone lays the bass over versus a band sitting there and playing together. And even then, they were sort of talking about the deviations that we're talking about now.
Yep. And something is lost and something is gained, right? Right. I don't think you get
flexibility.
You don't get the number of cool records that you get. And stay tuned for my Q1 playlist coming out very soon if you're a member of the Patreon. I don't think you get as many cool records as we get now in a situation where everybody's got to go to the studio and everybody's got to be together. But I do feel like there's a specialness that comes from being together. And I wasn't present for this interview, but did Crime Apple and Prez spend any time?
They didn't.
They did not.
The schedules did not align, but they have a very thoughtful exchange kind of in front of us, prompted by the question about whether or not it matters. And this is very much keyed into something they talked about, which don't feel like it's lesser than the sum of its parts, and that perhaps one day they will work together. This is this record, El Leon, that we're about to get into with them, is planned to be the first in a series, and perhaps another one will take place in person, but they felt like I made that same joke. Nucks. Hilarious.
My G.
Yes. And then like El Oso is the third one.
Exactly.
They talked about it. They didn't feel like it was lesser than because of this, but they didn't preclude ever working in the same place again. It just didn't work out.
They're just on the move, which is
the current thing of the times.
Yeah.
And
they
had a lot of exchange about the ideas. You guys will hear it in a second. But
Absolutely.
Crime Apple Preservation, two great tastes that we didn't know would taste this good together.
Yeah.
They're fucking awesome. I think this is a really cool interview. We're stoked to have them on. And I think there's going to be a lot more good music coming out of this unexpected pairing.
Nate, will you title the episode Apple Preserves? Just throwing it out.
I guess I have to now.
It's on you, dog.
That's a good one.
That's hilarious.
Let's get into it. This is our interview with Crime Apple and Preservation, Dad Bod Rap Pod.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Slide up in the spot looking like El Leon. Whoa. Head to toe, Gore-Tex looking nautical. Aye. But the shit I'm sporting ain't nautical. No. Watch what you coughing up, COVID filling coffins up. VVs in the piece, fucking up the cornea. When I drop euphoria, even Zendaya know. Go to Cape Town, I guarantee you that day with no paper plates now.
Dad Bod Rap Pod, every week we bring you guests that are moving and shaping the hip hop world. This week is no different. For the first time, we have rapper Crime Apple in the building, someone we've talked about a lot on the show, someone whose music we definitely fuck with, and Preservation, a returning guest, amazing producer and world traveler, stopping in to check in with us for a moment. Guys, how are you? Thanks for doing this.
Crime's more of a world traveler than I am now.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it. Appreciate you fucking with the album.
Absolutely. So I read the press release today, and it says that Leon is the beginning of a three-part series that you guys are working on. Can you talk about a little bit about how you linked and just in the most general terms, what it was like working together?
Press? Nah, guys, we got to shout out Mark for sure. We got to shout out Mark, Top Shelf Premium.
Yeah. I mean, that's number one. We met through Mark, Top Shelf, at his store in Hoboken. And I just went in there on the humble one day and just kind of was like, for like clothes. I didn't even know he was doing the music stuff and like taping the doing the off top series. I didn't really, I might have seen it, but I didn't know it was him. So we just got to talking, and he had some kind of event, and Crime was in there, and you know, we just kind of kicked it for a second, and it was cool, just that Jersey connect, and that's kind of where it started. And we're just like, you know, we fucked with each other's music, and it was just kind of like, let's, you know, maybe do some, you know, a couple songs here and there. But at the time, we didn't think. And then I kind of went back to his catalog just to kind of re-up, you know, like, because I was listening to stuff here and there, but just really kind of delving deep into it and checking the lyrics and what kind of, you know, music that he, you know, kind of goes towards. And I was like, I hit him. I was like, let's just get to work and, you know, try to see what happens. And that's how it kind of got started, you know. So yeah, Mark, man, for the definitely Mark was the link.
Nice.
Thank you, fellas. I just want to ask, this question is for Crime Apple, regarding your new partner, Preservation. I mean, we're fans of Prez's work, and we're very his work very much resonates with us. But for you as an MC, what do you look for in a producer, and what was it about Prez's work that made you want to fuck with him?
He's like one of one, you know, for starters. Like, just on the outside, on the surface, he doesn't sound like nobody to me. Shit is dope, and it doesn't sound like anyone. And I'd heard like recent things, like some of the Kosh shit and, you know, the Eastern Medicine. So I was like hip to what he was doing in like recent years. But his shit is dope, and it just don't sound like he got his own style. He paints his own way. And then, you know, like when I figured out he produced Fake Bonanza, that's when I lost my shit, because that's like one of my favorite songs when I was in my early 20s. So I was like, God damn, bro. Like, that's like, I ran that song. I've listened to that song like thousands and thousands of times. And when I figured out he did this shit, I was like so excited to work with him.
Glossy and raw, so self-absorbed, immature. I can't remember being this bored. Fake bonanzas become real wars. Bullets burn through the candy on the driver's side door. Long investigations and no firm leads. $1 billion flow on black life is still cheap. And rent skyrocketing, job prospects plummet. 10 murders, 10 days this summer.
But, and that was crazy to me when he told me that, because someone, another MC had brought that track up. I forgot who it was. And it's just like it was random to me, because it's like, I love that track. That's like definitely one of my favorite tracks I did for most. And but it's just kind of coming from Crime. I was like, really? That one? I was like, all right, yeah. Like,
yeah, you ain't shit for that.
Yeah, man. That was all.
That's super dope.
I see it, because it, like, that track is very like he goes crazy on that. Like, and then the track had a kind of a you know, it comparatively to what I was doing with most at the time, it had more of like a hip hop, like kind of just boom bap kind of feel to it. That was crazy that he brought that track up. And it was funny because another MC, I feel like MCs just like that track. That's like one of the most joints that like real MCs like really like. So it was interesting to me to kind of that came up.
That's awesome. Crime, I wanted to ask you about the song Fumemos. And I love themed writing like that, how you worked in all the different cigarette references and different, not just naming the brands, but talking about some of the actions, and just, it's just a super dope, well-written track. Can you talk a little bit about how you approach that? And like, do you often do like themed runs like that?
Devised a plan, the cigar was crammed with plants. Harley Davidson versus the Marlboro man. Wow. Gotta run it back. Some dudes fronted and they want it back. Nah, we too cunning, need a 100-pack. Heard they sparking shit, fuck it. Let's get it shaking like Parkinson's. Make a mound of ashes out the parliament. Got the drop from a harlequin who told me she would get me in. Link me with auspicious men. Gotta play it cool though, it depends.
No, I don't. You know, if you look at the catalog and you're familiar with it, you'd basically know that the predecessor to that record is Round of Shots on my one album with Big Ghost, Aguardiente.
Mm.
So I kind of heard that beat and I was like, yo, this is like not a sequel to it, because it's like a different, you know, it's a whole different album. It's a different collaborative effort between me and Prez. But like, I guess in my like cinematic universe, that became the sequel to like Round of Shots. So I don't have a lot of those. I don't do a lot of those records because they kind of could run the risk of being corny when you do them too much. You know, it's got to be like, it has to be natural. And I think that's when it comes out like fire.
Word. Thank you for that, man. Appreciate it.
And that one came as far as like the at first, you know, all the before I got the record start, you know, when I was starting to send him stuff, I went into a section of records that I hadn't been in, like pulled out in a long time. And it's like all the UA Latino label and I kind of like, you know, Latin soul side of things. And I was kind of like, let me pull some, like a lot of words and kind of like bring them into the tracks to kind of show that I'm pulling from that source of music. To kind of like maybe, you know, try to get a something across, like, you know, kind of like, so yeah, that came, that I sent him that just kind of like, you know, it sounded great, but when he sent it back, I was like, oh wow, like, because some cats, like, they'll get a record like that with like a theme, maybe like a word in there that they can build off, but a lot of times MCs will maybe send it back and they didn't really play off that word or they didn't play off that theme. But
right,
when he sent it back, it was great. Like, and then plus the track right before he ended What was the last words on
Back in the Cigarillo. City, Cigarillo for the Sicko,
yeah. So I was like, yeah, you know, I think I don't know if that was that track was done first or second, but when I put them together, you didn't even realize it's like, oh, those last words goes perfect. We didn't do it on purpose. I don't think you wrote that on purpose. Like, oh, this is going to go into memos. It was just like one of those magical moments or like those, that sequence magic that I always love to do. And just kind of like, oh, this fits perfectly. It's a perfect pitch. Like those are always, I love when that stuff kind of comes about.
Nice. Thank you. You know, we're just in talking to you right now. I mean, we're mentioning most, of course, Woods as well, but Prez, I mean, tell us a little bit about Crime and sort of what about him struck you and made you want to work with him?
I think we had, him and I had a conversation of kind of like, you know, pulling each other into our worlds, you know, like, so to kind of have be like, I think the unexpected collaboration first, and then kind of people being like, oh, I wasn't expecting Crime to work with him and vice versa. And then also kind of like, for me, it was like kind of showing like, you know, I do a lot of this stuff here that I'm kind of known for, but I'm, you know, I'm also based in some like some hip hop, like just, you know, boom bap, like whatever. I don't like that boom bap kind of, but the you know, just that raw, like that raw stuff, like just to, so I wanted to kind of show that I could kind of rock with someone that is one of the illest at that, you know. So I think that was kind of like convo that we were having. We're like, oh, this could be really cool to kind of like shake it up. Like people like, oh wow, I wasn't expecting that. And then, you know, and then just his, you know, his writing, you know, like I feel like when I went back to the catalog, I felt like every project he was just getting like, I feel like he was getting better and better and just like sharpening it up. So that's always important to me, like to have an artist to really try different things and really just sharpen it every time that you do a work, you know, it gets better and better. So for me personally, that's what I was seeing. So I was like, it was definitely, I was into that. So, you know,
that definitely also comes through.
And good people too. That's number one. So yeah. if the French, the relationship is cool and there's good vibes, that's number one. Cause if that's not there, it's not going to really work for me. So, you know,
Nice. I wanted to touch on one other track from the album, Cuanto Te Quiero, I think I have. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. I can't read my own writing, but it's Crime. It's dedicated to your mom. I'm wondering, have you played it for her? How did she react? another kind of thing. It seems like your songs tend not to go in that direction. This felt like a little bit of an outlier in your catalog as well. Can you talk about it a little bit?
I'm always there when you need me. Just happy you got to see me get to a place where everything is peachy. Uno joven era difícil, un imbécil. You got my mind right, you would correct me. Prevent me from making certain mistakes, but some I had to make. You let me. Afterwards, you would protect me. What could possess me to ever let you down and have you stress and misdirection?
For sure. No, I haven't. I haven't, just because I haven't seen her since the album came out. So, but yeah, maybe the next time I see her, I might. The thing about like my parents is that they like know what I've done and what I'm doing. But I don't think they like understand really, you know what I mean? Like they don't understand it in a way where they could like sit down and like listen to something. Like, I think it's the kind of thing that the best way that I could share things like that, or even that particular song with my mother, would, the best way to do it would be like live. You know what I'm saying? Or just any song for that matter. Cause my parents like see little videos and they're just, you know, cool. Like, we don't have to worry about him. He's all right. But I don't think they really get it. And I don't think like sitting him down and being like, here, listen to this. I don't know if that would really convey, You know what I mean? Like, so I
right. But here's your first tried. Rap song. It's also about you. Yeah, and man. I need you to listen in Spanish and English real fast.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. But I've done, like, you know, I have my mom on the cover of on the artwork for You Don't Fuck With Crime Part One and things like that. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've definitely, like, shared what's going on with her. But in terms of playing her that song, no, I haven't done that yet.
Right on.
Yeah, say that live thing is different. That same with me. So I feel like as soon as that seeing them seeing me in a live situation flipped their brain, like, oh, okay, this is what you do. And then this is like,
yeah,
you know, people are here to hear what you do. It's different.
Yeah, I wanted to hit the right way. I feel like I would want it to hit the right way because, like, anyone with a SoundCloud could put headphones on their mom or dad and be like, I made this song for you. You know what I mean?
But when they see it.
Be me and Prez on stage somewhere crazy.
And when they see it affect other people, that's, I think, when it hits their soul. Like, they're like, oh, wow, this is you talking about me and this is connecting with all those people. Oh.
Their whole
visual
switches.
Nice, thank you. Now that the album, you know, has been out for a quick second, and you guys had a second to kind of reflect on, what are both of your guys' personal favorite cuts on here? If you had to pick one.
It's hard. It's really, really hard. Honestly, that's the kind of thing, I'm like this with anything. Someone will ask me, like, yo, what's your favorite flavor ice cream? And I can give you an answer today. It might change tomorrow.
Right.
But I guess, like, today, I would have to probably say, like, it's a toss-up between a few, but I was like, Fumemos, for sure. For sure.
That's a super dope cut. How about you, Preston?
For me, the one that really, when he sent it back to me and I was like, oh, there's always, for me, for albums, and I've spoken to some MCs about this, there's one track that kind of, like, the light turns on, you know, and then you kind of, like, make everything kind of around that. Not that I did that for this, but the one track that, like, when he sent it back, really, like, oh, was Boulevard.
I remember we was rent control living, roof leaking, floor creaking, crib reeking every weekend. Not fucking with that shit again, we not speaking.
No, we not.
Now I throw them racks and don't ask questions, no stressing.
Danger.
I'm on the boat catching fish, I'ma fry later. My ideas form like skyscrapers, the waves get annihilated.
Wow.
Now I got a pot to piss in and a spot to place it. I'm not complacent, we not adjacent. You posturing when the cannon's out. The video vixen ain't feeling you when the camera stopped. I was sturdy without when I was rich within. Now I switch to Benz, seeing my life through a specific lens.
Wow.
For sure.
That was early. That was early too. That was like early in the album.
Yeah, that was like the first five. First four that you sent, four or five, and amongst some of those, some didn't even make it. So, but it was, that one's real special. And Fumemos as well.
It's a great closer. I just finished listening to the record right before you guys signed on. So it's really fresh in my mind. I think it's sequenced beautifully, as you pointed out earlier, Prez. That was the Thank clear you. Pick for the closer. Kind of ends on a little bit of a down note. I'm curious, you guys said you met in person at Top Shelf Premium, but did you record together at all? Or was this like a, no, it's not, that's, is just not necessary? Or did it not work out logistically? Or how do you feel that's important?
Yeah, go on.
So we didn't. It helped.
We tried.
At some point,
we were trying to figure out a time to come down to New Orleans. But you were traveling a lot, and
it was moving around.
The tour for last summer as well, like, was, we were mixing during when I was on the tour, but yeah, it just didn't work out.
It didn't work out. I don't think it hinders it though. You know what I'm saying? Because I think you know, me and Prez got to chop it up like once or twice, and even sat down and broke bread. You know what I'm saying? Like, had a lunch together, and the communication was there. And when we had tried to, I was going to try to get down to New Orleans to do some recording. But, you know, at the same time, it was tricky. And at that point, I had done, you know, so many vocals at the one spot that in hindsight, like, it would have been cool if I had gone and done some vocals in his presence. But it also, like, I liked, it's cool to think, like, all right, cool, I did all these vocals with this one mic. I kind of like shit like that. You know what I'm saying? I do feel a little funny about, like, yo, I got these three songs I did in this one booth, and I don't know, two over here, three over there. So it kind of worked out for the best, even though I do think there's also something to be said about, you know, recording ever. Like, I, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I record with someone, like, I preferably like to record everything with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and we might, and hopefully we'll probably get the chance to do that on one of the next two.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. The consistency piece makes sense to me.
Yeah, but there was a lot of back and forth building as far as, like, you know, sequencing and there was a lot of communication as far as, like, what sonically, like, what it, how we were moving forward.
Nice. Oh, there's a lot of communication. He sent me to the studio to do, like, one ad lib, to add an ad lib. He's like, I need you to go in the studio and just say, pardon me. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we were on it. Now we crossed the T's and dotted the I's for sure.
Yeah. I always tell engineers, like, when I was doing the Aethiops, I told
Willie Green.
Yeah, I told Green, I was like, yo, you're gonna hate me at the end of this shit.
It's what it takes to get it right.
Yeah, man, it was back and forth, and you know, he was definitely respected, like, you know, my crossing the T's and down here, like, just the attention to detail, you know. He told me, he mentioned that, he was like, yo, I learned some things, like, you know, just kind of being, you know, he was like, certain things I wasn't even hearing. He was like, I'm a stickler sometimes to a fault, but try to make it as best as I can.
Yeah.
With what I have.
You guys had mentioned your guys' respective favorite tracks on here. I love El Leon, and you know, it's the title track of this collaborative album as well. Can you guys tell us a little bit about what went into that and kind of what made you pick that as the title track?
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So real, I land in Colombia. Immigration and customs looking at me like, when I stop this, I know you. Yeah, you know me. Wow.
That's the first one, right?
Yeah.
First song, when yeah. Yeah.
When I sent it, so the intro with the horns,
like a fanfare. Yeah, it's great.
The lion sounds are in the sample.
Mm.
I didn't put the lion on top of that. So I just titled it El Leon.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of where, I don't know, you know, Crime could speak on where he took that, you know, the idea. But the lion was in the sample. I didn't put the lion on top of that. So it was just, I just titled that beat that.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, And I think that was the first one that I wrote. It was like the first or the second, but probably was like the first joint that I heard, and I was like, oh shit, and I wrote it. Yeah, that's one of them ones. I think I don't want to speak on it too much because then I don't want to pull the thread and give away too much about what's to come. So I'm going to close my mouth. But I think that was the first joint that I wrote, though, for sure, from the batch of beats.
Yeah.
Prez, you touched on this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to follow up. Did you go looking for Colombian stuff in particular or more just kind of like sounds from the Latin diaspora?
Yeah, it was more just what I had, actually. I had all those records. It's funny, right after one of our first, maybe the second time we linked, I went to a record store right after that, and I dug up some things. I sent a picture. I was like, oh, I got a new stack. So it was just kind of in that realm. It wasn't specific to Colombia. There are a couple of things in there, specifically Colombian, but it's not the whole thing was not from there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was a mix Mexican, Puerto Rico. I have to go back, but it's wide range of countries.
Thank you for that explanation. You know, Crime, every time I read about you, everybody always mentions, you know, Crime Apple, the modern MC, modern MC. And I'm wondering, who are some modern MCs of yours that you like? And what is it like what do you try to achieve when you're writing?
What do I try to achieve when I'm writing? Probably a couple things at once, right? I think I want to be like as sincere as I can be at some points. I also definitely, if you haven't noticed, I always want to make shit like very visual.
Mm-hmm,
for sure. I think it's important to like describe things in a way where people can like feel it or taste it or just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like a movie kind of. I guess it depends on the song, you know what I'm saying? I want to be original. I want to be sincere. I want it to be, sometimes I want it to be like relatable. I want to talk about like real life shit that I, you know, just take notes from everyday life and put that in the bar. Simple things. Yeah, I don't know. There's no like simple formula to it. But those are some of the things I try to do when I'm writing. You know, like shit is so serious, especially like in this new wave of underground where, you know, I feel like in a lot of regards, a lot of people are like trying to sound the same way and give off like the same demeanor. And that doesn't necessarily equate to like terrible music, but I feel like that is one of the things that helps me like resonate with people. I'm not afraid to like do that and say wild shit, like, you know, this girl tried to like lick my ass on the first date. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that helps, you know what I'm saying? So.
Absolutely.
Right on. And what about any modern MCs? Any of your colleagues that you want to shout out or that strike you?
Oh, colleagues that strike me. It's tricky because I'm like my diet consists of, you know, not a lot of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? I don't really spend a lot of time listening to my colleagues, even though there are probably a lot of talented new cats.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because no matter what, like when you're creating, you're copying, you're being inspired, and you're, you know what I'm saying? Like you're deriving inspiration from other things. But like I feel like I'm so deep in the game that I try not to really listen to anyone too much. Because I don't want them to like rub off on me. You know what I mean?
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many dope cats though. It'd be, you know, like how much time would you have? You know what I mean? There's just so many. There's no one that pops up in mind. It's like a very like beautiful time because there's like so many cats. And it really depends on like there's something for like any mood that you could be in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like any vibe. Like there's people that sound great in the ride. There's people that I want to hear in the club. There's people that I want to hear like on a hammock on vacation. Uh-huh. Different types. So yeah. Much variety. It's a lot.
Yeah. I feel like that's why like it was, I think, interesting for both of us to kind of collab, because there are so many different things and we're kind of in you know, different. There's a connection there, but it, you know, where there's to come together with MCs and different producers that maybe kind of do a lot of the same thing, or kind of, you know, it's kind of, I like when those kind of interesting collabs happen with creating a world with a few people or two people or whatever from different worlds and putting them together, you know.
Yeah, that is definitely evident throughout the album. Crime, just from listening to your music, it seems like you travel back to Colombia a lot. Like, would you mind just like, this is kind of a non-hip hop question, just do you think, like, I know it's changed a lot. Do you think like more people should travel to Colombia? And would you have any like tips or like a little like spots people should hit when they go?
Here's what I think. I think it's, in some regards, it's like way different than it was in like the 90s. Some of the first times that I went, when there was like, you know, all the violence that's like spoken about and kind of like the reputation that it used to have and kind of still has maybe in some people's eyes. So
that's like a good thing. But the other side of it is like, I've noticed in the last however many years, it's become like this kind of a passport bros destination. Yeah. And I have like mixed feelings about that. Like on one hand, it's like, I kind of see it because I'm outside and I see like people from other places that are like there, and you can kind of tell why they're there. It's like a double-edged sword. It's, you know, there's some cultural exchange going on, and maybe they're like infusing the economy, but then at the same time, it's like they might be causing the prices of some things to go up. It's kind of complicated. So I don't know that I want to sit here and like, you know, roll out the welcome mat and be like, yeah, everyone come on down. I can't say I feel like that. You know what I'm saying? I can't say I feel like that. But if people, you know, there, I have seen people out there, and I have been out there with people who have like maybe the right intentions and, you know, like the whatever, like the, they're going to leave the right spiritual fingerprint on the place, then by all means. But like for that new wave of like passport bros, like technically you get like pull up, have a, and you know, because you get got, like people are sleeping on that. There's so many people who are getting got, getting killed, getting hurt, getting robbed, all types of crazy things from doing that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was recently in a bunch of news outlets like Complex and Wall Street Journal even, about like these Americans and Europeans who go down there and start like online dating and thinking shit is sweet. And you know what I'm saying? Now they're being held for ransom. Or, you know, rest in peace to the one guy. I think they got this one guy from Minneapolis. And, you know, he met up with some girl and she lined him up. And they just wanted, the ransom was $2,000. $2,000. And his family didn't have it. They found him stabbed like 14 times in the woods.
Wow.
So it's like a real tricky thing. I feel like that's kind of the thing now. I see Colombia a lot on Instagram and YouTube and things like that. And it's all about that kind of thing. Like, oh, come to where the most beautiful women in the world are. And you could get enough. And the rent is this much. And like some of those things are true. Like, yeah, your dollar and your euro is super strong there. But I feel like it's just gotten intertwined with the whole passport bros thing. So it's like, you know, I would just say come correct if you're going to come.
Definitely appreciate that perspective. Thanks.
Hey, Prez, I just want to, and if you're down to maybe just give us a little peek behind the curtain, not too much, but I know that you guys have more material to come. Are these all from just, are those songs ready to go?
For
future iterations.
Yeah,
for the future.
Maybe
things.
Maybe El Tigre is next. We don't know. We don't want to like make shit up, but you know,
it's we're still working. There's still, you know, there's things being written and done. A lot of beats. There's some beats there. So we're gonna spread it out. It's not like a back to back thing that we had kind of spoke about that, like to create a world and kind of to you know, not do a back-to-back kind of thing, just like, you know, let the albums individually, you know, like through a moment in time, and then, you know, so it's getting worked on.
I feel like I was not to jump in, yeah, but I feel like please. if they were all done it would be a disservice to the listeners. I personally, just from the way I like to see my words come out. And I even had spoken to Prez about it when we were like doing the mastering. At one point I was worried about how long it was going to take for this album to come. I'm like, yo, some of these lyrics have like expiration dates. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of love that about the trilogy, because you're going to hear, like, even when I was listening to this album, like maybe, you know, 2 weeks or whatever before it came out, I'm like listening to it and I'm like, bro, this shit is like so... it's like on the dot for everything that I'm just doing in my day-to-day life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm listening to the album and it's like I'm recapping the last month of my life, even though I wrote it like, you know, maybe more than a year ago.
More than a year ago, yeah. It took a while to kind of certain things to kind of like little roadblocks, yeah, that's crazy.
But I think it's dope that, like, you know, that we're going to have this time. And, you know, like, I don't know how it is for Prez when he creates, it's a different process maybe, but I like to live a little life
In between.
You know what I'm saying? In between writing. You know, like, I could, people who know me from being in the studio with me know that I'll cook one up for you in 5 minutes. But, you know, no problem. But if I have, like, especially if I have the time to, like, I stop myself from writing because I'm like, nah, I got to chill. You know, let me just chill out and let me just take in a little life. So I think that's going to be what helps the trilogy too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We had this conversation too, like, to tap into different things, different feels on each one. So, you know, that does take some time, you know, and I think as far as like specific, especially for someone writing, is way different. Musically, you know, I like to take time in between, sometimes too much time, but to gather music and listen to a lot of music, kind of get inspired. But I think writing is different. Like, you have to live really to get those words out, like, you know. So yeah, I think that's spreading it out a little, I feel, was always like the goal, to kind of not really do it back to back, because, yeah, you know, it's cool to, like, I like also, like, people kind of putting out a lot of material as well, you know. I'm not against that at all, but, you know, but to have certain projects kind of spread out, I think, because that works as well. But yeah, that's what that is for this.
Right on, guys. Well, like we said up top, we're really big fans of the record. We're fans of you both individually, and it was a surprise to see that you worked together, and a pleasant surprise at that, because the album's really dope, and we appreciate you spending some time with us, and maybe we'll catch up with you when the next one drops. And just want to thank you for your time, and we'll let you know when this is going to be out in the world. I know the album's been out for a minute, so we'll try to kind of get it lined up a little bit sooner than later. But yeah, just wanted to say thanks.
New York puts such a premium on success that the sight of failure is doubly disturbing. Some are defiant in failure, and defiance may be the best response to the unique heartlessness of the city. It is cold, it is hard, and most of all, it is indifferent.
That was our conversation with Crime Apple and Preservation. Want to thank them for coming on. Crime Apple especially, long time coming, Nate. I think I cut you off, but you were mentioning that we tried to talk to him in season one.
Yes.
Of Dad Bod Rap Pod. And what happened?
His phone died in the middle of our thing. We got about 7 minutes of unusable audio.
We thought he hung up.
We thought he hung up on us. You've said actually on the pod that he thought we were Herbs, but
that's the impression that I got.
That was the impression that we got.
Yeah.
I did bring it up.
Yeah.
And he didn't specifically remember it being us, but he remembered an interview where his phone died, and he didn't give any indication that, like, he thought we were Herbs or anything like that.
Yeah.
And when I was prompting him for his drop, he was like, I was like, it's Dad Bod Rapper. He's like, oh, I know.
Okay.
Like, he knew about the show, and I don't know if Prez prompted him or if he just knows from being online or whatever.
Right.
But he said a very funny thing back in the day, which I think Dave asked him, like, your writing is so, like,
I asked him a question relating to Street Fighter because he mentioned video games or something, and then it was dial tone.
But it was the famous, it's become famous in our group chat, basically, and in our conversational ticks of, like, where we asked him what books he was reading, and he said World Star Captions.
Oh, right.
Which
is
the funniest possible way to answer that question.
Yes.
And at the end of this, when we were just chit-chatting, he was like, okay, that was my vibe back then. I was way too online. Now I'm, like, traveling more. I always have books in my travel bag. Like, if you asked me that question now, you would have gotten a much different response.
Well, on El Leon, he talks about reading books, and both me and Nate,
we
almost
texted
flipped
each other
our chairs.
Immediately. Like, we're just like, oh, yeah?
Now
oh,
you're
yeah?
reading?
Starts cussing in Spanish.
Super cool guy. Yeah, totally. Yeah, there's a part in this interview, which I know, Damone, you haven't heard, but we have to pretend like you have for the purposes of this. He has a song about his mom on the record, and I was like, have you played it for her? And where that ended up, like where they took that was so interesting, I thought. It was just so cool.
I loved it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So glad we got to talk to him. I'm a big fan of the new record.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely tapping.
Put out
that.
A lot of good work. We talk about this with Woods. You can also talk about it with someone like a Crime Apple. Like, so many projects, like, within, like, mm-hmm. I think he's been active for about seven years. Yeah. He's probably got 15 records.
Yeah,
like,
maybe 20.
Most of them are worth your time.
Yeah.
We have to start thinking about how we categorize things differently. Because it's like, I was just talking to one of my buddies, Jeff, who's into this, really into this band Helvetia, the dude who used to be in Duster, Jason Albertini, is a project called Helvetia, came out with 10 records last year. He's like, so I picked this one as my number one record of the year, but I'm like, you should get a different kind of award. Like that, I think of often about that year we did the Dad Awards or whatever, and Rock Marcy had 6 good records that year.
Right.
The Year of Chaos and like all those other records. And it's like, it's like if you didn't know anything about this person and you just tapped in on one of those records, you'd be like, this is a really good record.
Yeah.
But there's like another level of acclaim that should be noted by people like us, critics, people who talk about this shit, at least in some kind of public forum, for like consistency and like
Well, runs,
it's just
right?
It's just runs. A new level of being prolific these days.
It's like the best way to have runs.
Absolutely. I feel like Crime Apple has reached a certain level of consistency that everything he puts out. I just want to one more time hype up. He did this all Spanish language record, which the title is escaping me. But I remember being like, okay, he's got versatility to him. He's not, you know, we talk sometimes about Griselda and how we've been like ground into the ground with their shit. Crime Apple is tweaking things just enough to keep you interested from project to project. He had the Mugs project. This one with Preservation I like a lot. So dope that he actually knows who we are and that him and Prez were able to come on. So we definitely appreciate that. But that's not the only new record that we're listening to. We want to take a little bit of time to talk about some of the new rotation for the bros. Dave, let's start with you. Besides Horace Andy, what are you listening to on a regular basis?
Well, I thought we were talking about records of any era.
What are you listening? What's in your rotation?
So when Nate texted us this, I just pulled up my YouTube and just to kind of see. And then, anyways, I've been listening to Ann Peebles a lot.
Oh, nice.
I think I told you guys this.
So you can stay in the ring?
I actually interviewed her.
No shit.
Maybe about a year ago, but yes. But unfortunately, it was a terrible interview, and it will go nowhere.
Wow.
I think I told you guys about this, and I can tell you off air.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So just gonna ask for some deets.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait till we're done.
Her record's incredible. There's a song on there called what's it called? Just Enough to Keep Me Hanging On. And it was covered by David Isaacs. It's a famous Jamaican cover. One of the saddest songs ever recorded.
Okay.
But her version's kind of dope, and it's like it's very. You get Al Green vibes from it, just like the entire record. So I was kind of re-exploring her record because I kind of only knew her for Can't Stand the Rain.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that record is impeccably produced, and you know her best shit's on that. And I just been running it.
Okay, wait. Tons. What album is this?
It's called I Can't Stand the Rain.
Oh, it's called the I Can't Stand the Rain album.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got you.
There's a song there called Run, Run, Run that, again, just has, like, sick drums. It's an incredible record.
Okay.
That is a great record.
Yeah.
So and has a place in hip-hop history because of 100%. Missy's kind of reinterpolation of it. And, like, Ann Peebles has been sampled many, many times and is a truly great singer. She's phenomenal. That's a great record.
Good call. Nate, what about you?
I have
you?
It on Wax Original, but no one asked. my record that I wanted to bring up, they're kind of like a, you know, you guys know one of my musical bags is kind of the Stereo Labby, broadcasty, kind of like girl singing psyche bag, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there's a new-ish band that has emerged in that space. They're called Crumb. And the album is called Jinx. And in particular, I want to give a shout out to Turntable Lab, where I have been buying records and gear for many years. They contacted the band Crumb and did an exclusive run of vinyl for all their records that were previously digital only. Nice. So this.
So album, you Crumb snatched it?
Exactly. It's a Crumb Apple. I'm like,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
In there somewhere. I just can't find it. The album Jinx is just like a surreal, trippy, cool, like very like maudlin. It's just like a lot where my headspace is at these days, and having it on wax, numbered and limited edition is something that sick. I didn't think was going to happen. So that's super dope. And they have multiple good projects, and I think they can really be somebody in this space. So if anybody's on that kind of vibe, I would definitely recommend checking them out.
Okay.
What about you, bud?
Okay, you had me at Stereo Lab. For me, the record that is in heavy rotation for me might be the rap album of the year.
Whoa, already?
I'm calling it in March. The pole position right now is Schoolboy Q.
Oh,
Blue
yeah.
Lips.
Yeah, I need to check it out.
TDE is a label that has created a legend over the last decade or so for making these very big rap albums, plenty of gravitas. And I think Schoolboy Q on Blue Lips hits it. Just hits it out of the park.
Okay.
There's like 22 producers on every track. There's a beat switch every 90 seconds, it seems like.
Really?
I'm here for that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It gets to the point where we're going between him rapping over John Coltrane's Central Park West.
Word?
To the most aggressive, programmed drum beat and then back again.
Dude, okay, let's go.
Yeah. It's an incredible record. I'm a huge fan. I loved the Blank Face album. His album Crash Talk, not so much, but this one is really a return to form, and it's an album. It's 18 tracks.
I was trying to remember where I had heard about this record being good, and it was because a friend of the program, Kutso, texted us because there's someone who's featured on it named Ass Cheek.
Ass Chica.
So we just riffed about that for like half an hour one morning, and I never actually listened to the record. So I skipped the important part.
In addition to Ass Cheeks, you should listen to Blue Lips. essential. But
Ass Cheeks?
Yeah.
Blue Face? He did what?
Schoolboy Q's at the top of his game. He's an artist that I've always liked. He always murders his features. But he is taking it in a direction that, honestly, I wanted Mr. Morale to be.
That's so to me, good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. To me, Dave, it reminds me of, it has hints of actually the SZA record.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they're tapped into, they being TDE, is tapped into what is dope about rap right now.
Okay.
And they're fitting Schoolboy Q into that mold. So, yeah,
strong proponent. There's a reason feature on here.
That is quite the glowing review.
It is,
I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to anyways. Paulo, DJ Kutso, is a big fan of
Schoolboy
in general.
Yeah.
But
it's not one of those things where like, oh, you know, suspend some of your trepidations about trap music or whatever.
Right.
Some of this shit, you're like, is this Alchemist right now? Like, okay. What's going on?
Okay.
Like, what's
okay.
going on? But there's a bunch of musicians involved. There's a bunch of producers.
Sick.
Super dope record. Always here for a blockbuster event rap record.
Okay.
And I feel that's what it is. So right now, to me, pole position.
Of the year.
Yeah.
Dang.
Wow.
Dang.
Pole position for album of the year.
Wow.
Do respect
still some
to
months left, dog.
There's a lot of months left. And we'll see. But I'm just,
okay.
I'm saying in terms of scale, it's going to be hard to top.
Okay.
Just give it a run.
I'm going to give it a lot of run. Totally.
Yeah,
that is totally. A glowing recommendation. I really need to check this out.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, we be listening to music. I know you guys listen to music too. Tell us what you think about our takes. Glowing praise or hateful screeds only. Nothing in between. nuance does not help us. You either love this shit or you hate it.
Oh, Alchemist is on here.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Lost Times. He produced the song Lost Times featuring Jazzy.
The song Ohio with Freddie Gibbs is amazing.
Ooh,
the song Cooties is amazing. Thank God for Me is like Schoolboy Q doing.
Ohio is the one that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 producers.
Wow. There's a bunch of tracks like that. And it's been like a thing online of people being like, oh my God, what could people actually do? But I have a theory about this. And if anybody has more inside information, please tap in at DadBodRapPod on Twitter. My thought is this. The industry is crumbling. So everybody that's involved with the track is like, I need my royalties. Mm. I came in here, I played drums on this, and I kind of did a little thing. Mm-hmm. You got to put me on there. It's the Kanye West model, really.
Right.
Yeah. Of everybody that was involved that day gets a little piece of the record because, like, honestly,
there's no other revenue source.
Right.
There's no other. Right. So they're like, no, I'm involved. There was a time.
And they're also like, and this really needs to be in a big movie now.
Yeah.
Because we need don't sync. Have any money.
Yeah. We need sync royalties. Like, no matter where this lands, I want a piece of it. And so people are like, oh, how could you do 10 producers in one track? But I'm like, how do you think Motown was made?
Right.
That wasn't one dude behind a board. Like, it was a lot of talented people who the credit is not evenly dispersed. So I'm all here for a 10 producer track if it sounds dope.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there's like, yeah, there's it's throughout the album. So super interesting. Let us know what you think. If you've peeped any of these records, you can always hit us up at DadBodRapPod on Twitter, at DadBodRapPod on Instagram. The best way to connect with us, Nate.
Patreon.com/DadBodRapPod for all of your dad conversation,
but not about your dad, because that's more of a therapy thing.
Needs we have it. No, that's where you get the exclusive other segments. Sometimes we speak a little bit more freely. Yeah. We're not as worried about access. We're actually talking a little bit more shit.
A little bit.
We talk a little bit about more our lives. We have we just like the discussion is a little bit more loose, and we do polls. We do discussions within the comments. Someone I hung out with a young person relatively recently, and she encouraged us to get a Discord. Which I told her the thing I always say about that, which is like, if you tell me what that is, I'll think about setting it up. And she
You don't know about Discord?
I did not know about Discord.
How do you buy your drugs?
at the dispensary and mail order. Yeah. But yeah, it depends on the drug. But
yeah, Discord is
do you know about it?
Totally. This. I mean, I have teenagers, so okay. Discord is the completely encrypted, it's kind of like Slack, but it's completely encrypted, so you can.
You're making
like,
it sound so fun.
Yeah. Remember the Slack era?
I'm about to sign off.
Sad face emoji.
I don't think we'll ever get to a Discord. I'm just going to be honest with the fans here. I don't think what it takes to keep one of those percolating is beyond the scope of three dudes who are in their mid to upper 40s. So if there is an interested fan, though, that would like to run our Discord and or a Reddit thread for us, holler. DMs are open.
Our previous fan who did our Reddit subreddit grew up.
God damn them.
Shout out to Paddington. I did their podcast about 6 months ago. So he's still in the... I didn't tell you about this? So Paddington and the bros, they made like a little dad pod. It's like have their own little podcast of three dudes. They ask me questions.
You know that meme of like those three white kids discussing?
Indeed I do.
It's Paddington.
Your children have spawned and they're out there doing things.
Wow. So child bod, rap pod.
Yeah. Shout out Paddington. But yeah, if there's folks that want to help us get into these other realms, we're here for it. We recently got a new member of the team. Want to shout out Taylor Wang, who is responsible for mixing the program. Shout out to Sean Kantrowitz for making that connection with us. And you know, the monolith that is Dad Bod Rap Pod keeps rolling on. Thank y'all for listening. Until next week, Dad Bod Rap Pod.
Sold 410 million. Thank you very much.
Top of the morning, cooking for me, mama yawning. Pops was a foreman about that south from Illinois. Kobe got called in the house with Sean, it was snoring. Said that they offered a plea for three, but he ain't going. I say, you stupid, what is you doing? What you on? He say, don't worry about a nigga, keep the bond. I got plans to get everything that I want. I fuck with these niggas who really on. Question? Tell me what you know about Treat. Could've been famous, but I chose those streets. I the same nigga said probably 03. You can check the name, ain't a game low key. My homie's so vicious, I used to be richer. I used to want interest, so money I lent you. Fuck is you on? This money I'm old is like money, come on. That money I'm on, it's old money. Money you know, you old money. You should know how for that money we go. And it's so funny like an old bummy nigga with jokes. I just wanna buy you everything. I just wanna buy you everything. Trust me. I just wanna buy you everything. I just wanna buy you everything.